Charles Woodson, Desmond Howard, Denard Robinson, Timanga Biakabatuka, from Yost to Harbaugh, passed down from generation to generation, Michigan football has stood the test of time. What's that feeling you get when you catch your first glimpse of the big house? When you hear, "And take the field." When you see the team emerge from the tunnel, sprint across the field, and touch that famed M-Go Blue banner. Saturdays in the fall, tailgates with friends and family, favorite players, favorite teams, and unforgettable moments. A lifetime of memories. College football in 2020 may be unique, but it has arrived at the corner of Stadium and Main, which is where you can find Michael Spath and Justin Rowe sharing their analysis, their stories, and their emotions about this year's Wolverine. This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome to the Stadium and Main podcast. I am Justin Rowe, and I am joined today by Michael Spath, my co-host here. It is November 10th. It is the week of Wisconsin after coming off of another loss to Indiana here. Mike, how you doing out there?
I'm good. It's a gorgeous morning in Southeast Michigan on my way to Ann Arbor for work. And, I'm not excited about the weekend, not anywhere close to excited about Michigan playing Wisconsin. I am curious, as always. There's a level of curiosity here. I'm curious about Wisconsin, what they look like after taking two games off for COVID precautions and because of COVID outbreaks. Where's Michigan at? We're going to get into this podcast a little bit later on. So many no longer question marks, so many like negatives, so many concerns with this Michigan team. And are they season long concerns? Can they get better on the offense and defense side of the ball? We'll get into that too. But Justin, let's start with the coach, because I created a little bit of a, shit storm yesterday by a tweet that I said, if Michigan does move on from Jim Harbaugh, being a Michigan man is going to be a high priority for Ward Manuel. Should have clarified a little bit, in their minds, what that means is a guy who understands what the culture is all about here. The fact that they don't cheat, they don't cut corners. Your kids have got to go to class, stuff of that nature. I think what my source was trying to say was like, hey, some of these names that are going to get thrown out there that are assistant coaches at SEC schools or assistant coaches at ACC schools, those type of coaches are probably off of our board, because those type of coaches have too much of a checkered, too much of a nefarious past that we're not going to consider those coaches at the University of Michigan. So that's more about what that tweet was about. But it brings up this question, Justin. Should Michigan move on from Jim Harbaugh? Will they move on from Jim Harbaugh after this season? Where are your thoughts at? Is Ward Manuel the smartest guy in the room that he's going to stick with him, or where you're kind of at with this Jim Harbaugh discussion?
Yeah, I think that it's kind of Michigan's at a crossroads right now. Obviously, where you're in year six of Jim Harbaugh, you've regressed in the last few years. You're nowhere near where you thought you would be with Jim Harbaugh in year six. And so now what do you do? Because there are a lot of people out there that do say, if not Jim Harbaugh, then who, right? Who's going to be the guy that's going to take this program to the next level? And I don't know if Ward Manuel has an answer for that, right? And you've been outright, outspoken on this podcast saying it doesn't matter if you don't know, you got to at least take a chance. But I think that we actually talked to Larry Lage yesterday, and from the he's an AP sports writer, and he says that in his mind, and I agree with him, Ward Manuel in this program doesn't have anybody on their list where they can fully say, yes, with that person, this program is going to get better. And then on the other side, Jim Harbaugh doesn't have another option lined up for him. There aren't any NFL teams. Maybe there are, who knows, but in my mind, I don't see any NFL teams or really great even college coaching jobs that are calling Jim Harbaugh saying, "We want you here." And so I think that it seems, although the entire fan base and media, and it seems like everybody is ready to move on from Jim Harbaugh, except for Ward Manuel and Jim Harbaugh. And so we're in this situation where it doesn't seem like Ward is ready yet to even have that conversation to move on from Jim Harbaugh, even though the entire fan base is ready. So where does that put you in terms of, yes, should they do it or will they do it? I mean, I think those are two very different conversations.
Well, should they do it? Absolutely. And as much as the unknown scares Michigan fans, the known commodity is in front of us, has been in front of us for the last 5.5 years. And the known commodity, if the goal is to win Big Ten championships, if the goal is to eventually win a game or two in a 5-year stretch against Ohio State, if the goal is to compete for more than a 700 winning percentage and wins over Maryland and Rutgers, which are not guarantees this year, wins over the second tier of the Big Ten, if that's what you aspire to, then yes, the known commodity is not good enough and you move on from Jim Harbaugh. Will they? No, I don't expect them to. I don't expect Ward Manuel to fire Jim Harbaugh. You know, the quote that I was given by someone in the athletic department was that Ward Manuel doesn't want to be known as the guy, doesn't want to be remembered as the guy who fired Jim Harbaugh, not only because he's his teammate, but because he thinks that history will judge him in a negative way. And then the fact that there's not a lot of great names out there, and we can certainly in a future podcast talk about Luke Fickell and Matt Campbell's resumes and Tyrone Wheatley and other coaches that might be in the conversation. But I don't think Ward Manuel is going to move on from Jim Harbaugh. I don't think Jim Harbaugh moves on, because what's his escape? After the season, he says, you know what, this wasn't the perfect marriage I thought it was going to be. I've lost my, you know, desire. I've lost my excitement. I've lost my, you know, ability to coach. He can't admit any of those things, because if he does, he immediately handicaps himself from getting his next job. And there's no doubt about it, this guy is a coach. He's not an administrator. He's not a ambassador. He is a football coach. And what he wants to do is coach football. And whether that, you know, that means either at Michigan or in the NFL. But Justin, I think the one thing that has not been talked about enough, and I spent quite a bit of time discussing with Brandon Brown yesterday, and I think he's going to write a story about it for Wolverine Digest, is the timetable that is here. Because the college football season will end December 12th for the regular season. Other than the Big Ten, nobody has talked about doing all these plus one games. There will be a championship weekend in the SEC and the ACC. But if you're an underperforming college football team, you are going to fire your coach the Monday, whatever that is, December 14th. Right around then, you're going to get rid of your coach and you're going to start your job search. And the NFL season won't end until, I think we looked it up yesterday, January 3rd might be the last games. And so those coaches aren't going to be let go until whatever that is, the 5th. So you're going to have about 3.5 weeks where you're going to have this, where college coaches are going to be all the programs are feeding on the Matt Campbells and Luke Fickells and anybody else out there that is a viable replacement at Auburn or at USC or at Texas, if those three schools decide to move on from their coaches. And at the same time, Michigan would be sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting for Jim Harbaugh to potentially take an NFL job. And so say he does it this year, they go 3-5, they lose to Ohio State in poor fashion, and everybody kind of just decides like, okay, it's time, we got to move on, and they have a hard conversation, and Jim says, well, I'm not going to leave until I have an NFL gig. He doesn't take an NFL job till mid-January, and now Michigan is trying to do a coaching search in mid-January, when all the best coaches that are available have been picked over and are gone. That is a worst case nightmare scenario for Michigan football. And unfortunately, I think that's where Michigan football finds themselves, because we're all in agreement Ward's not going to move on from Jim, and Jim's not going to move on without something else.
Well, and I think that causes the most concern about why Ward Manuel's head is not at least thinking about the option of letting Jim Harbaugh go. That's what I think is frustrating to most people here that support the University of Michigan, is it sounds like he's not even ready to have that conversation. So that's that means he's not having any conversations with other coaches or other administration members to say, hey, let's put together at least a preliminary coaching search committee and let's take a look at our options. Like you stated earlier, I believe it was last week, saying, hey, Ward Manuel needs to be making phone calls to all these NFL guys, all these other college coaches, and saying, you know, hey, who's the next upcoming guy? Who do you have on your radar? I want to hear about what up and coming guys you have. And it sounds like Ward Manuel's like, I'm good. I'm sitting in my office. We're going to ride Jim out until he's ready to go. And that's, I think, the most frustrating part, because it doesn't seem like Ward Manuel is prepared for this next step for Michigan football. So how does Ward not at least put some pressure on Jim? Like, hey, man, you need to win right now. Otherwise, we do have to make a move. And it doesn't seem like that any of that is happening.
Well, the short answer is because he's Jim Harbaugh. And he has had the reins on this program for the entire time that he's been the football coach in Michigan. He's been completely in charge. We've discussed it. I think we discussed it on our podcast on Sunday with Will Heiniger, you know, the autonomy that he has in this program. He wants a new weight room. Okay. Who cares if softball and baseball and lacrosse and all these programs are using Oosterbaum Fieldhouse? I want a new weight room. We're going to kick all those players out. Hey, I don't want to show up for my media obligations. That's okay. I don't have to. I'm Jim Harbaugh, and no one's going to tell me otherwise. You know, like, those are the type of things that, you know, Fan Day and the Women's Football Academy, all these things that were hallmarks of this program for the longest time. And he just said, look, I don't want to do them anymore. So they're not being done anymore, because he completely goes unchecked in the athletic department. And so if you're Ward Manuel, how do you suddenly, if you haven't been checking Jim Harbaugh for his entire career, how do you suddenly all of a sudden say, like, now I'm the one that's in charge and I'm the one that's going to be making this decision? It's like, Justin, if you have, I have a one or close to a 1 year old, and I will lay this to someone in my family that has, we've got some nieces and nephews, and they have let those kids run rampant for multiple years, just getting anything that they want all the time, doing it whatever, however they want to. And now they're getting a little bit older and they're trying to check them. And those kids have learned, like, no, I'm in control. All I've got to do is this, this, and this, and I'm the one that's in control. So that's a little bit, I mean, Jim Harbaugh's not a child, obviously, but he's been getting his way since the moment he stepped foot here on the Michigan campus. And so, yeah, if you're Ward Manuel, how do you put some, you know, put Jim Harbaugh back in a box when he's been the one that's in control the entire time?
So let me ask you this then, with all this being said, with the assumption that Michigan does not move on from Jim Harbaugh after this season, and the fan base is probably, you know, up in arms about that, because everybody on social media is already looking at the next guy. They're looking at every option of Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell, and Urban Meyer, and the list goes on for Michigan fans, because they're desperate for something. And then Ward Manuel doesn't make a move. How do you see the 2021 season playing out? Because earlier this year, obviously before losses to Michigan State and Indiana, we did have the conversation of, is this a play for 2021 type of year? Are you prepping your team for this next year? Well, now if Michigan goes 4-4, 3-5 in this 2020 season, and Jim Harbaugh's seat is hotter than ever, how do you see 2021 playing out? Because it's going to have to be win them all, or you're done, right?
Does it have to be? I mean, if what we're saying is true, and Jim controls the reins to the program, and Ward is unwilling to make the hard decisions about the program, then, you know, one thing that we haven't discussed is if you bring Jim Harbaugh back, if there's no intention of moving on from him, you have to sign him to a contract extension. You absolutely have to. That might infuriate Michigan football fans that don't understand, but you cannot have him go into the 2021 season. Even if everybody believes it's his last year, you can't have him be a lame duck where he can't go out there and recruit. So you have to extend him 3 years, maybe even 5 years, and give him an opportunity to build the 2022 recruiting class. Now, here's the rub of that is you go out there and do it, and everybody says you have to do it smartly. You don't put a huge buyout in there so you can get rid of him whenever you want. But if he has 3 or 5 more years on his contract and he doesn't want to go back to the NFL, what's stopping him from just saying, well, I'm going to keep on coaching in 2022. I'm going to keep on coaching in 2023. You know, this is – here's what ultimately comes down to. If you truly believe that that Jim Harbaugh is no longer the answer for Michigan football, this is going to be at some point Ward Manuel having to make a hard decision. And I have been given no indication whatsoever that that is ever going to happen.
And you know, what's frustrating is Ward Manuel gets paid a lot of money to make hard decisions, right? This isn't you know, a committee or an organization where it's like, I kind of want my friends in here. I don't want to hurt his feelings though, because we were teammates and we have a history together. So I want to make sure that he's okay with it. No, that's not what your job is. Your job is to make really tough decisions. And right now you're in a spot where you're going to have to make a tough decision either way, because it's either piss off the rest of the fan base or piss off Jim Harbaugh and maybe some donors. I don't know if there are people that back Jim Harbaugh still, but that's where it's frustrating, I think, for this fan base and everybody to listen and watch Ward Manuel do this work. Like it's not like there's no urgency. We've seen no urgency on the field. Well, it also seems like there's no urgency off the field. Like there isn't really that timetable of if you have to win now. It's you're doing an okay job and not really up to our standards, but we don't know if there's anybody better out there. So we're just going to kind of keep plugging along and hoping that you get it together in year 7, year 8. So, I mean, that's to the point where if you're in year 7 or 8 and you still haven't beat Ohio State and you're still, you know, going 9-3, 10-2 at the best every year, what are you as a program, Michigan football?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, look, I like John Jansen. I think he's a good guy, but I also think that John Jansen as a representative of the University of Michigan and kind of, you know, serves a little bit as conveying some of the messages from the University of Michigan. When I heard this yesterday, oh man, I was like, oh, if this is the message coming from the athletic department, we are in so much trouble. He brought up Bobby Bowden. He brought up Tom Osborne. And I'm trying to think of the third coach he brought up, but he brought up three coaches who are legendary coaches. And he said, what do they all have in common? And he was talking to his partner on 97.1, Mike Stone. And Mike was like, what? They're great coaches. They were at their programs for a long time. And he goes, yeah. And they didn't win their national championship until year 12, year 14, year 18, whatever it was. Like it was like well down the road. And he's like, and yet people view them as great coaches and as Hall of Fame coaches. And yet they didn't win their national championship till, you know, they were well into their teens and like they stayed there for 20 years. And I'm going, oh my God. Oh my God. They're trying to preface this idea that Jim Harbaugh is going to be given a 15-year window to compete for a championship. Like that, like, again, maybe he was just trying to rationalize where Michigan finds itself right now. But if that was a kind of a subtle directive from U of M, like it takes time and we're talking about year 15 whole. I mean, I heard that and I just started like, wow. Were Michigan is in trouble if this is what this conversation piece is. I mean, you know, he mentioned Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney, it took him 7 years to win a national championship. Okay, we're at year 6, guys. Do we look like Michigan's closing in on a national championship anytime soon? I mean, you know, and the Dabo Swinney thing is so funny to me because people think Dabo Swinney cheats his ass off and that they're paying players. And yet he's used as an example of, well, don't worry, it took Dabo Swinney 7 years. Okay, well, is Jim Harbaugh cheating his ass off? Is that how he's going to get there? Because if not, stop using the damn Dabo Swinney. But before it was Mark D'Antonio. Well, it took Mark D'Antonio, whatever it was, 5 years to win a Big Ten title. Well, we've passed 5 years, and now you keep on moving it further and further. Well, it took this guy this long. It took Tom Osborne 18 years to do this. And it's like, if we're talking about a second decade without any level of success, without a victory over Ohio State, without a Big Ten championship, and Jim Harbaugh is still the guy, I mean, I think you're going to see – I honestly believe this, Justin. I think you will see the day that fans can come back. If Jim Harbaugh's the guy here in year 8 or year 9 and they haven't won anything, I think you're going to start to see the big house start to empty out. Mm-hmm. And that is when – that is maybe the only thing that'll speak. And right now, you know, is there any impetus for Ward Manuel to move on from Jim? The only way that I could see it happening is if like the money was drying up, but you have no idea because there's no fans at the stadium. Like if you got to the Rutgers game or you got to not the Rutgers game, the Penn State game in a couple of weeks and you had 20,000 empty seats and you could look out and you could see that and they announced the sold out crowd at the big house. And yet everywhere you look, there's seats. That's the type of stuff that speaks to Michigan when the money starts drying up or when fans start tuning out your program and aren't buying your tickets anymore. But we have no idea. And so that kind of gives everybody a free pass this year to say, hey, you know, everything is okay. We've got we've got to figure this out. We've got to see this through to 2021. It's a very slippery slope that Michigan's on right now.
It is, and it's frustrating that we have to get to that point of fans not showing up in order to make a decision. It reminds me of the Detroit Lions organization where fans still show up and fans show up at Ford Field, fans still watch the games on TV, and so they're making their money, and so mm-hmm. there's no reason for the Fords to, you know, truly make a ton of decisions to win football games. And so I is Michigan similar to the Detroit Lions where they really are okay with mediocrity as long as they're profitable, as long as the revenue's still coming in? That's a deeper question, obviously, but that's tough to swallow for a lot of Michigan fans out there. And then to your point about comparing Harbaugh to different coaches, I saw him compared to Brian Kelly as well, because Brian Kelly in year 7, I believe it was, went 4-8, right? And so everyone's mm-hmm. like, well, you know, he went 4-8 in year 7. It's okay to have a down year every now and then. Well, yes, it is. If you have already been to the national title game and gone 10-3 the year before, and obviously they're not in a conference, but I'm sure they would have won a conference championship in one of those years. And so mm-hmm. if Jim Harbaugh would have beaten Ohio State a few times already, or even one time, and been competitive against them even in the last few years, and then had a down year because of maybe a bad 2016 or 2018 recruiting class, a couple of those things add up to maybe a down year, then yes, he could get a pass, but he hasn't. So when it's continually regressing year after year, then that's when this season where you go 4-4, 500, you know, something around there, that's when people are going to start saying, all right, it's absolutely time. So I don't know where I said that Michigan's at a crossroads right now. I don't know where they go from here. And I think Ward's feeling the same thing, but it's just, have you ever seen an administration and the fan base in such opposite directions?
Probably not. No, because I think the other coaching hires, the Rich Rod and the Brady Hoke, I think everybody was on the same page when they came to an end in 2010 and in 2014. I think they're also on the same page when they first got going. There's a lot of excitement about Rich Rodriguez for Michigan fans because he was different. He was outside of the family. He was exactly what this program needed. And there was excitement in 2011 for Brady Hoke because he was a Michigan man and he was a former coach and he understood this place. And so, no, you're right. I mean, if you were to pull, football administrators should Jim Harbaugh be the coach in Michigan in 2021? I think you'd almost unanimously get like 100% yes. And if you were to poll Michigan fans right now, should Jim Harbaugh be the coach in Michigan in 2021? You know, I don't think it's 100% no, but I don't think it's a 50-50 thing anymore. It's probably like an 80-20, 80% say no and 20% say yes. And so you're right, Justin, and I hadn't thought about that, but there is a gigantic gulf right now between how the administration feels about the direction of the football program and their head coach and how the fans think about it. And the media is kind of in that middle ground, because I think the media, you know, for the most part, sides more with the fans. I mean, I don't know if you consider you and I part of the media. I think we're, you know, in the past I have been, we're enjoying doing this podcast, but you know, I see a lot of interaction on social media. I see a lot of interaction just talking to my friends, and everybody's pretty disgusted and pretty much ready to move on from Jim Harbaugh. But that'll be, you know, we'll certainly be talking about that more as we go along. You know, are there candidates? To me, it's a little bit of like, whenever it says like, well, you know, who are the candidates? I'm like, the candidate right now is Jim Harbaugh. He is at Michigan, and until he moves on from Michigan, I'm not really going to get into like doing a coaching hot board or who is the right guy to replace him, because he's here, and that's that. So we'll get into those conversations down the road if they necessitate themselves, Justin. I do want to talk about you know, kind of the offense, defense, and expectations for the rest of the season. Now that we've seen, you know, how good Maryland is, they're 2-1. They beat Penn State in a bad way. Penn State looks terrible. They're 0-3. Wisconsin this weekend, you have no idea what to expect from them after they've had, you know, two games off. They've had a lot of practice time off. You know, this is going to be like a first game all over again for Wisconsin. But hey, you know, you guys, everybody knows that I have moved on from sports media in some respects, and I am working at Kapnick Insurance Group. And one of our great partners at Kapnick Insurance Group is Frankenmuth Insurance. And, you know, insurance is probably the last thing on your mind. That's okay, because it's the first thing on my mind and on our mind every single day. Let's be frank, when we're talking about your home, vehicles, business, or life, the unexpected may happen, unfortunately. And the bright side is you can depend on Kapnick Insurance Group and Michigan-based Frankenmuth Insurance to provide the peace of mind you need. At Kapnick Insurance Group, we believe the best relationships are honest, upfront, and fair. If you want to get frank about insurance, let's talk. Give us a call or check out our website at Kapnick.com for more information. You can find us in Adrian, Troy, and in Ann Arbor. And Frankenmuth is one of the great partners that we work with to provide insurance to our small businesses, to our corporate businesses, and to our individuals, their home, auto, life, health, all those different areas of your insurance needs. Again, visit us at Kapnick.com for more information. So, Justin, I was doing an interview with Sam and Ira from WTKA, my former colleagues, my friends, on Tuesday morning. And we were discussing, you know, kind of where this Michigan football team is on offense and defense. And I said the strength, the possibilities, the future, the excitement is all rests on Joe Milton's shoulders. The running game looks awful. The offensive line is now a major concern. The drops from the tight ends especially are a concern. Where are you offensively? Like, do you see this getting better? Or is this kind of what I said is, they've got to put this entire thing on Joe Milton's shoulders. And that's crazy to ask of a kid making his fourth career start, even as excited, even as much expectations as I had for Joe Milton coming into the year, to just essentially say like, we're going to win or lose, whether or not Joe Milton throws for four touchdowns per game and 350 or 400 yards. I mean, that is a lot, but I feel like that's where we're at with this Michigan offense.
Yeah. And I will say, I'm more confident in this offense seeing that third quarter from them against Indiana than I was against Michigan State, and then in the first half against Indiana, because I thought that Joe Milton and this offense started to roll a little bit, and Ronnie Bell was a big reason for that. And so even if it is all on Joe Milton, which I don't see that changing. There's no way, especially now with two tackles out, and we're pretty sure Jalen Mayfield's out for indefinitely. Not sure about Ryan Hayes, but I think going forward, that offensive line is not going to get much better. So the run game, in my mind, is not going to get much better either. I'm hoping that Josh Gattis does start going with – at this point, I don't even care which of the four it is. I just want to see a couple people get in a rhythm in that backfield and actually, you know, start to have more than six or seven carries apiece. But I do think I had a little bit of confidence after I went and rewatched the game. They were humming in that third quarter and then into the fourth quarter as well until Joe Milton threw that interception, which was a bad throw, but it was one of only a few bad throws that he had. So I see this offense maybe making some strides. I don't know if it's going to happen this week against Wisconsin because I think Wisconsin's defense is very good. Obviously, we don't know what to expect from Wisconsin after they haven't practiced, haven't played. But I'm not sure if this week is going to be it. But I do see this offense taking a few steps forward. And I would imagine Josh Gattis is trying to find any way to get those running backs going here. Whether it's, I think you and I are both on the same page. If we see inside zone one more time on first and 10 or second and 9, we're going to blow a gasket. So I'm hoping that he is making some adjustments to get his guys in space because there were a couple times even late in the game that he got Blake Corum the ball on a swing pass or something, got him in space, and he gained 12 yards. And so that's what I think Michigan has to focus on is being creative, which is what we thought, of course, the adjustment would be for Josh Gattis from the Michigan State game to Indiana, and it didn't happen. But I'm hoping that they're watching themselves, like we talked about with Will Heiniger, watching themselves play football and kind of understanding what they need to do to go forward. Are you on this? Do you think they take any steps forward, or do you think we're going to see the same thing for the rest of the season here?
Well, I was shocked that they opened up the game last Saturday. Their first play from scrimmage was an inside zone read that went for -1 yards. Like when I saw that, I thought to myself, like, what the hell are these coaches doing? Like, are they?
It was
so
laughable.
Is it either they're so incredibly arrogant, or they're so incredibly stubborn, or they just wanted to give a middle finger to the fans and the media and say, you're not going to be the one that dictates to us how we run our football team. But the problem with any of those answers, Justin, is that it put Michigan in a second down and 11. And it was unbelievably stupid. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen a Michigan football coaching staff do because, they had no chance of being successful and they did it anyway. Again, to some degree, I almost believe they did it to give a middle finger to everybody. And that is such a bad response from a staff. Second play, they threw a little swing pass to Giles Jackson. We talked about with Will Heiniger on Sunday, was unsuccessful. And now Joe Milton's in a 3rd and 13. Like, you know, that's just terrible. So they've got to use, even though that play wasn't successful, you mentioned the one to Blake Corum, they've got to use the outside. They've got to use Joe Milton as a read option runner. They've got to do the things that they were doing in week one, where they were attacking the edges and softening up and getting those linebackers and getting those, those cornerbacks to cheat a little bit. And then when they do that and those linebackers are starting to spread out a little bit because they're worried about covering the edges, then you attack the middle. Like it's checkers, right? It's not chess. You don't have to like really outthink it. You just do like, okay, let's soften the defense up. Then we hit them where we've made them soft. Like that is football 101. And so I hope to God we see that against Wisconsin, but I'm not really sure because it's the Michigan coaches and they're smarter than everybody and they're more clever than everybody. And they're just going to do what they want to do, whether it's going to be successful or not. So, guys like Blake Corum and Chris Evans and Giles Jackson should be getting the ball way more than they are out in space, but will they? I'm not really sure. Throwing the ball downfield, Joe Milton looks more comfortable at it than we had seen the first couple of weeks. He's got to continue to hit big plays. He's got to hit big plays across the middle. I think Michigan wins this game against Wisconsin only if Joe Milton throws for probably 375, 400 yards and 4 touchdown passes. Cause I don't think they're going to win it with their running game at all. On the defensive side of the ball, Justin, like how much confidence do you have that this secondary is going to get any better? And if you don't have confidence, the secondary is going to get any better, isn't Michigan in a really bad spot where their 28 points is probably going to be like the minimum now that they're giving up on a weekly basis?
Oh, for sure. And I think that the worst part about it at all is that Don Brown has no idea what to do now, because his man coverage doesn't work. And then I believe he was forced to play zone by Harbaugh or somebody else, forced him to play zone pretty much all of the Indiana game. And that didn't work, maybe worked less than his man coverage. So now you've played two bad games with two completely different defenses, and you've put your guys in a position where they have no idea what to do on the field. So I think that we're going to see a lot of this secondary and even the front seven now with Aiden Hutchinson out too, and maybe Kwity Paye banged up. They're all going to be kind of looking at each other like, what the hell do we do now? We don't know what coverage we're supposed to be in. We don't even know how to run half these coverages because we're being forced to move into them in week three and four of the season after not practicing them all fall long. So this defense, I don't think, is in a good spot at all. Just talent-wise, obviously, no. They're in a really bad spot, especially at the corner position. But then also scheme-wise, I think everyone's taking a look at Don Brown. Obviously, everyone wanted him to move to some zone, and he went pretty much 100% zone against Indiana, and that didn't work at all. So I think maybe they see a little bit of both man and zone against Wisconsin. But I think this defensive secondary is very confused. Daxon Hill is the only guy. He made some really good plays on Saturday against Indiana, and so he's the lone bright spot for that backfield and for that defensive backfield. And then without Aiden Hutchinson, Michigan went two games without sacks for the first time under Don Brown. And so without getting pressure on the quarterback, they're not going to do well. And I don't see them getting any more pressure with Aiden out and with these linebackers not playing as well as we'd hoped. So especially if Graham Mertz plays, we have no idea if he will. I think they're going to just expose that secondary. So do you see Don Brown making any more adjustments? How do you see this playing out for the defense against Wisconsin and moving forward?
Yeah, I don't think he has any more adjustments to make. I don't think there's any more, what's the old phrase? Like, bullets in the gun or anything like that. Like, I think this is who he is. This is what they've got. They've got Vincent Green, Jamon Green. They believe that those two are their best cover corners. So they're going to go out there and play them. The zone defense blew up in his face, largely because they don't practice it enough. And so those guys weren't ready for it. They've got another week to practice it. So they can get a little bit better at it. Hopefully. You can't put Daxon Hill on four different players. He's done a really good job on the wide receivers that he has been guarding. But what it shows is that teams are smart enough and they recognize, like, hey, if we can't throw the ball to our number one because Dax Hill is on them, we'll throw the ball to our number two and our number three. And those guys the last 2 weeks have had monster games against Michigan's defensive back. So, no, I think the secondary is in trouble. I think the only way that Michigan, as we look at the rest of the season, you look at Rutgers, you look at Maryland, you look at Penn State, those are the three most winnable games on Michigan's schedule. The Wisconsin game, Paul Chris said that he will see about Graham Mertz's status for Saturday. I would bet that they're going to do everything possible to get him back and playing that game. The fact that it's at 8 o'clock at night, they can, I don't know if that helps that much, but I mean, I'm sure it's a little bit later on in the day. They have a few more hours to get him up to speed. I think he's going to play, and if he plays and he can find any type of chemistry that he had in week one, I think Michigan's in deep trouble this week. I think going forward, you just got to outscore Rutgers. You got to outscore Penn State. You got to outscore Maryland. You get three wins there. You finish the year 4-4. You go into that extra Big Ten game, and maybe you're playing Nebraska. Maybe you're taking on Iowa. But I don't think anybody is looking at, certainly no one's looking at 6-2, because Michigan's going to get, their teeth kicked in by Ohio State. But 5-3, I don't think anybody's looking at that. I think a best case scenario right now, Justin, for the rest of the year is a 4-4 regular season, and then see who you match up with, see who you get in that ninth Big Ten game.
Yeah, and so let me ask you this. We'll wrap up with this question here, because I know you've talked about it a little bit. If they end up 4-4, Where does that leave this team? We had talked about what's a successful season early on, and obviously our expectations were way too high, you know, even three games into the season. Is 4-4 a just terrible season, or is it like, you know what, it's 2020, they're decimated on the offensive line, this team isn't what we thought it is, so they're okay, or is it a travesty for Michigan to go 500 in 2020?
Well, I mean, again, if their losses are to Ohio State and to Wisconsin, and to the best Indiana team that they've had in three decades, everybody's going to look at them and go like, hey, they lost to good teams. But then there's the Michigan State turd burger that's on the schedule. And frankly, I mean, if they get the 4-4, that would be, I don't want to say a success, it's not, but like that – from where they are right now, 4-4 would be considered a win for Michigan, because, you know, there's a possibility they could lose to Maryland, they could lose to Rutgers, they could lose to Penn State. I mean, it could get worse, but no, it's not a success. It's not a ho-hum. You look at it and go like, that was a complete and utter failure of a 2020 season for Michigan. The only bright spot would probably be Joe Milton, if he is consistently getting better week to week. But if it's Jim Harbaugh coming back in 2021, as we discussed earlier in the show and expect it to be, then I don't know that there's a lot of hope and excitement going into the offseason and going into another football season in 2021. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Hey, Justin, you know, my sandwich comes out this week from a friend at Wolverine State Brewing Company on Saturday. I'll have more about this. I'll be promoting this, but I think it's a chicken and waffle with honey mustard sandwich, and so you can check it out, order it, pick it up from carryout, go in and get it when you visit wolverinebeer.com. Find them on Stadium Boulevard. They've also got a lot of great beers that you can pick up right now. There's got a little bit left of their Oktoberfest that you can get a growler or a crowler of the Dude, or what I like to call the 1955. It's a white Russian inspired beer. It was my creation last year, named after my dad. A bourbon barrel chocolate barista blood orange seltzer. They've got a lot of great beers. You can check them out at wolverinebeer.com. And then yes, coming out this Saturday, Saturday only, I believe. It might be for the weekend too. I'll check to make sure that it's not the entire weekend. But this Saturday especially is the Michael Spath chicken sandwich. Chicken tenders and waffles, all smothered into one sandwich. It should be outstanding. Check out, learn more by going to wolverinebeer.com.
Awesome. I'm going to have to maybe get that on Saturday before the game on at night. So I'll go check it out there. And I do want to leave us on a good note here. We have obviously the football season has not panned out to what we thought it would be in even three games in, but basketball season is around the corner, and Juwan Howard has landed 2 5-stars in the last week and a half or so. So we're close to basketball season, and Juwan Howard is rolling here. I'm looking forward to hoops with Isaiah Livers and Franz Wagner. And we'll hopefully be talking about that a little bit here coming up here soon in the next month or two. So thank you guys for listening. You can follow us at Stadium Main Pod on Twitter. You can follow myself at JustinRowe92 and Mike at Michael Spath, ITH. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, give us a good rating if you're liking the podcast so far. And we will have another podcast coming out, hopefully with Ruben Riley on as well, later this week, and do a little preview of the Wisconsin game as well. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later on this week.
This is the Stadium and Main Podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.